And now let us hear the word of the Lord, the gospel according to John. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. John chapter 4, and I'm going to begin with verse 4. Read some of this prior to what we have written in the bulletin. This is about Jesus talking with a Samaritan woman at the well. John chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. Now Jesus had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I am the one speaking to you. I am he." Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did," she said. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. There was philosophy professor at a big university. He had a large class. He had quite a reputation. A good philosophy professor. He could really make you think. And he could be a little off the wall sometimes. And the class was held at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, after lunch. The students would come and they'd gather in this huge classroom. And while they were gathering, every class, before it started, the janitor would come in and empty the trash right next to the professor's desk. He would smile at the professor, who would smile back, and then he'd leave. This went on for the whole semester. When it came to the end of the semester and it was time for the finals, the professor passed out the papers, and he said, "There's two parts to this test. The first part is an essay question. You can pick any of the above topics and write an essay on it. He said, the second part is quite simple. I want you to tell me the name of the janitor and tell me as much about him as you've learned. Nobody had taken the time to ask who the janitor was. He said, you can't go through life taking people for granted. You can't treat people like they're nobody. He said, everybody is important in your life. And it's true, even for this woman at the well. I want to give you a tip on how to study the Bible. It's a good Bible study technique. First off, you need your Bible. That's always important in studying the Bible. You need the Bible. Sit down with a tablet, pen or pencil, highlighter, and your Bible. Figure out what passage it is you're going to read. Write that on the tablet. Write your name on the tablet and write the date on the tablet. Take the highlighter and highlight anything in the Bible that really touches your heart when you're reading it. Write notes in the edges, the margins of your Bible, and on the back page of your Bible. Write notes on pieces of paper and stick them in your Bible. Your Bible should look beat up and worn and used, dog-eared, marked up, highlighted. It's an old friend. And then on the tablet, after you've written down the passage that you're studying, you write this first question. What does this passage say about God? And you read through that passage again and you think of all the things it says about God. Like in this passage about the woman at the well, God in this case would be Jesus. What does this passage say about Jesus? Well, first off, Jesus was tired. He was tired and he sat down by the well while his disciples went to get him something to eat. So he was tired and hungry. That he was showing some of Jesus' humanity here in the Gospel of John. And then, this woman, this Samaritan woman, came out to the well. And we'll talk about her in just a moment, but she was a Samaritan. Jesus was a Jew. And this woman was more than just a Samaritan. She was considered a nobody in her community. And yet Jesus spoke to her. He was thirsty. He asked for water. He broke the social lines that they had, the cultural divide between Jews and Samaritans. Jews and Samaritans hated each other. The Jews could not stand a Samaritan. And if I were a Jew and there was a Samaritan coming down here, I'd walk this way. I'd go down that aisle over there. That's how much they didn't like each other. And yet Jesus spoke to her. And she was a woman. And in that day and age, women were just property. And there's even more to it than that. This woman was a real nobody. But Jesus spoke to her. And when she had questions for him, he answered her questions. He explained salvation to her. The importance of doing it right. He took time with her. He cared about her. That's what this passage says about God. That God cares about everybody. He declared to her who he was. And then when he was asked to change his schedule and stay with them, he spent a couple days with them in that village, preaching and teaching. And many people became believers. So that's what that passage says about God. And then you write down question number two. You write down, what does this passage say about people? Okay, well, let's see. The disciples were obedient, and they were taking care of their master. They left Jesus at the well, and they went to get food for him. It says, who else was there? Was the woman at the well. Custom was you came either early in the morning or late in the evening to get your water because it was cooler. Custom was also in that day that it was a big social event to go to the well to get water. So you went with usually a group of people. So it would be a group of women. And because that was the place where you, you know, gossiped, shared the news of what was going on. This woman came by herself. And Jesus said, you don't have a husband. The man you're living with now isn't your husband. And you've had five husbands. Now, it was not uncommon for a woman in those days to have a couple of husbands. Because the custom was that a much older man would marry a much younger woman. And so the older man would pass away and the woman would remarry. But five husbands, and now she's living with a man. She was definitely an outcast in her town. She was a nobody. Came to the well by herself. A Samaritan woman. She was full of questions. She wanted attention and she got it. That's what it says about her. It says even more about her because she went into town and she told everybody about Jesus. She was the first evangelist in the Bible, in the New Testament, the first evangelist. She went and spread the word. And she got people interested enough that they came to find out for themselves. And the people were hungry. They wanted to hear the words of salvation. That's what this passage says about people. That if we tell people about Jesus, they'll come and meet him for themselves. So then the third question you ask yourself is, what does this passage say about the relationship between God and people? What it says about the relationship between God and people is this. This woman was a nobody. She felt unimportant. She was looking for approval from people in all the wrong places. And it didn't matter to Jesus. She was important to Jesus. Jesus cares about the nobodies. Jesus cares about the people who are invisible. If you feel like you don't matter, like you're not important, like your word doesn't carry any weight, you're wrong. You are important to Jesus. There was no such thing as a nobody to God. The Bible tells us that in Romans 1 that God wishes that everybody could be saved. It says in Matthew 25, that which you do unto the least of these, you do unto me, Jesus said. That when you feed and clothe and love people, that which you do unto the least of these, the invisible people, the nobodies, when you do it to them, you're doing it to me, Jesus said. And Jesus, when he's coming into town and there's all his followers and people are lining in the streets to watch him and he's coming through town, what does he do? He stops under that tree. And who does he speak to? He speaks to Zacchaeus, a tax collector and a short man, a nobody. And he says, come on down, Zacchaeus. We've got to eat dinner at your house today. In the kingdom of God, there is no such thing as a nobody. We have plenty of them in society, even in church. People that we ignore, that we don't take seriously. But I want to tell you this, you are important to God. No matter who you are, no matter what you think, no matter what you look like, no matter what your station in life, no matter how much money you make or how poor you are, no matter what you drive or what you wear, no matter what you look like, you are important to God. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. And there are other people who need to hear this. There are people who are in our families, at work, who live out in society around us, who don't feel like they matter. And they allow themselves to be trampled underfoot. They feel invisible. We need to tell them, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. You are important to God. We were all created in the image of God. This business about having a poor self-image, not in the kingdom of God. Everybody is important to God. God loves you, and so do I.